Greetings in Jesus' name. Feel blessed to be able to be here this morning. I was pondering this morning, just thinking about each one of us being here, and my mind went to parents. And we as godly parents see our children, and we value our children, and we know where our children are, and we are, when they're doing well, we are rejoicing, and when they're struggling, we are concerned, and we care, and we do what we can. And as I was just processing that and thinking about the value that is sitting here this morning, who does that include? That includes each one of us here. God has placed a value on each one of us here. And he has a desire and a plan for us. But he ultimately places that into our lives and allows us to decide what we're going to do with that. And the value that we can find in John 3:16, we see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how concerned God is for each one of us here this morning. And that's what he was willing to do, that we might have an opportunity to live. We turn to 1 John 3:16. When that, the value that God has placed into our lives, and we receive that, and we experience that, it does something to us. And we can see a piece here in this verse. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the care that we see in God's people when we are alive and well in Jesus Christ. And in the results of that in Revelation, the last part of the chapter there, he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We see a relationship in a communion with God. In Mark chapter 3, we see what happens when a people is walking in life and they don't have that relationship. They don't understand the value that they have with God. They do what Jesus did here in what Jesus pointed out here in this chapter, in chapter 3, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. These people here that Jesus is pointing out, they're not so concerned about whether someone gets help or not, but they're concerned whether their agenda gets accomplished. I trust this morning that we understand, we have experienced the value that God has placed on each one of us. And I trust that is being worked out in each one of our lives. And the results of that is being manifest in our lives. this morning for a message. This isn't part of my message. I just was pondering these things. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Like to talk about prayer and fasting this morning, and it's something that we've been talking about and I think has maybe taken place more than sometimes, and I just like to stir our minds in this and encourage us in these things, and maybe we can just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do just pause before you here this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you have done on the cross, for the love that we can experience, for the forgiveness that we can experience if we understand that and receive it. And Lord, I just pray this morning that as we look into your word, as we look into prayer and fasting, as we think about having a relationship and talking with you and what that might look like and the benefits of that. And I just pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts and minds this morning. Lord, if there are things that you want to teach us that we're maybe not aware of, I pray, Lord, that you would show us those things. Help us to be humble before you this morning that we can receive your word, that we can apply it to our hearts and lives, and that we can be the people that you so desire to have, so desire for us to be, Lord. Lord, I pray that as you do work that out in our lives, I pray, Lord, that you would be merciful to us. I pray, Lord, that you would keep your hand of protection over each one of our hearts. Draw us together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 6, going down to verse 1 in the beginning of the chapter here, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, and they have their reward. So we see here, he's speaking about people that want to lift themselves up. They want to appear to be a good people, a spiritual people. And he tells us in the end of verse 2 that's going to be their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doest. That's a challenging verse. What does that mean? Sometimes maybe we stumble up on that and we're afraid to do good because we realize people are going to see. It's not what it's talking about. I believe it's to do good and not to be concerned, not to put on a show and make sure that everybody knows what's going on. Verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. We don't need to come up with fancy prayers to impress God. We don't need, if we have a real friend, we don't have to impress them by our much speaking or saying it just right. But a true friend, what makes a true friend is when that person knows that I'm sharing the things that are in my heart. The things that matter. And at the same time, I'm also listening. I'm receiving. I'm hearing. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the kind of heart that we should have as we're praying. Recognizing our needs, recognizing who we are, and realizing that in order for us to be forgiven, that we need to have a heart that is able to forgive. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here, we're reminded of when we come to the Lord in fasting, that how we should approach that. We're seeking out God. We're not seeking to be recognized or find favor with man, but rather we're seeking God. And he tells us, if we come to the Lord in a humble fashion, that's what we need to be to for him to hear us, to get responses. But if we do it for man and for status, that we're reminded here that that's going to be our reward. And he reminds us about the things of this earth, the riches that we have, the possessions that we have. And I think we were reminded by Brother Jim this morning about laying those things aside, the cares of this world, and how we can, it's easy to get bogged down by those things. And that, yes, God has given us possessions, and we need to take care of them. But God has given us a work to do, and that needs to be important in our hearts. In Matthew chapter 9, just a couple of verses here that I'd like to pick up on. Going down to verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Two things we're reminded here in this passage. One is, Jesus came to save not those that are whole, but those that are in need, those that have sin, those that recognize that they need a physician, those he came to save. The sinners, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And in the call to, they were accused of not spending time fasting, and Jesus said, well, my disciples are with me. And that was not for them at that time, but it is for us here today. When we think about fasting, we think of doing without, denying ourselves of good things, things that we often enjoy that comfort us. Fasting is for a purpose. It is seeking out God. And when we think about not eating, we often, or eating only certain things, sometimes our minds goes to dieting, and that is something totally different. It's about losing weight. It's about getting we're concerned about our physical health. However, When we do fast, I believe it is actually good for our bodies if we do it from time to time. But something that I want us to know, coming back to Matthew there, is we see that it doesn't say if you pray or fast, but it says when. So God is expecting us to be praying and to be intervening for each other and for things that we're concerned about. Just a couple of people that I want to point out that spent quite a bit of time fasting. And in Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, we see here that Moses fasted. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And we see also in Deuteronomy chapter 9 that Moses, again there in that chapter, he also fasted 40 days. And then in 1 Kings chapter 19, we see Elijah here. Maybe I'll just read this section here. Verse 7 through 9. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Just want to point that out here. He had gone, he was obviously heavy at heart, and he had come 40 days and 40 nights. And then in Matthew chapter 4, the first four verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So these are three different places that we see about fasting. And I think it's maybe for that length of time, it doesn't happen very often. So it's just something that I picked up on. Fasting is about drawing near to God, getting spiritually healthy. Something that I have noticed in my life is I come to God seeking Him about something that is I'm concerned about, and when we come to God praying and have a humble and sincere heart, God wants to first work in your heart, in my heart. He needs to deal with self. He needs to deal with me. We don't like that. We often, as people, we feel like we have it together, but God When we are in a teachable spirit, God starts pointing things out and says, well, what about this and what about that? And God uses, when we allow that to take place and work out in our hearts and lives, He deals with us, and then He reveals Himself through us, to others, to ourselves. Fasting is not a rejection of the goodness of food. God created food to be eaten. Fasting is not a rejection of that, but it is a decision of setting it aside for a purpose. And that purpose is to seek God. We turn to Luke chapter 14. Going down to verse 16, I'll just read a couple of these verses here to just refresh us what's going on here. And then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, that I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. We take this passage here, and when we come to God, we're seeking Him. We have things on our hearts. And God starts speaking to us. What do we find ourselves doing? Do we accept the invitation that God brings to us? Here we see, if we read down through this passage again and again, we see people, what did they do? They had something better. They had a reason. They had an excuse. It's easy for me to find an excuse for where I'm at, for what I do. When we hear God, when God points things out in my life, let's be careful. Let's analyze our heart. Let's analyze how we're responding and see whether we take those things or whether we find ourselves making excuses for ourselves. The things that were important to them in this passage, that's what they continued to do. In Luke chapter 2, verse 37 here. We see a widow in this verse here. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. I don't know what she was all fasting and praying about, but she was obviously she was interceding for, I'm assuming, her people. And I'm sure that she didn't just have one long fast, but it was a part of her life. She was bringing things to God. She had a relationship with God. The things that she brought, whatever was on her heart, she brought to the Lord. In Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 here, we see a time of confessing and repentance. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. It was a time of confessing. We see in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, the same thing took place. And maybe we should just go there. But Jonah was preaching to the people. And he was preaching to the people. And I believe that they saw their need for God. And they cried out to God in prayer and in fasting and asked for deliverance. Esther was in a hard spot, another place. She was interceding for her people, and she felt God telling her to go to intercede for her people, and she was wanting to go to the king. And it was something that was not supposed to happen. And the people prayed and fasted for her deliverance, and she stepped out in faith. In Isaiah chapter 58, going down to verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fists of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. We see here a scene going on, and I think what they were, it's like we're supposed to be living a certain way, a godly way. In verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall bring forth speedily, thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. In James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is the life that we should be living. This is the heart that we should be seeing coming out of our lives as we're seeking God, as we're living life. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 21, going down to verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted, lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. We see a heart here that God is looking for. And because there was humility in this person in Ahab here, God spared him. And that's what God wants to see in each one of us. In Mark chapter 6, going down to verse 7, we see here Jesus was with his disciples in the authority that he gave them. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet, for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. It's part of praying and fasting, and we're fighting spiritual battles, and God sent out his disciples here and told them the things that they were going to encounter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I think a very familiar passage, we see Paul here praying. He had something that was very dear on his heart. It was a personal matter. Paul was a godly man. There was something that was bothering him. And I believe that he wanted to be healed from it. And Paul was asking God to take that away from him. Paul didn't think that he needed to deal with this. God's answer to Paul in this occasion here was, my grace is sufficient. Prayer and fasting will first of all purify our own hearts. Paul's response to God's answer was he accepted it. When we bring things to God that we feel we would be better off without, and he tells us that, no, this is where you need to be. Do we accept that? Do we embrace that? I believe that Paul not only, you don't hear him complaining about this issue that whatever it was in his life, it seems like it came up a couple of times a little bit, but I think the reason it didn't is Paul accepted it. He embraced what God had for him, and he moved on. Am I able to do that? We can come to the place that we see Paul coming to, a place of surrender and understanding, accepting, embracing. I believe that God will use you mightily in kingdom work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, now I see through a glass darkly. And then it's like so often we think we have an idea, but we have to remember that we don't always see the big picture. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As this takes place, as we're doing that, verse 7 is the fruits of that. We have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that will speak to whoever is around us, I believe. Something I'd like to note in Deuteronomy chapter 32, we look at verse 51 and 52 there. We see Moses coming to the end of his journey. And the children of Israel were about to go into the promised land, and he was not allowed to go in. And God took him to a place and allowed him to see the land. And if we just in our minds go back over the journey that Moses had with his people, he worked for his people. He messed up, but he got up and he kept going. He interceded for his people many a time. But in the end of his journey, God said that he was not allowed to go in because of a mistake that he had made. But something that I would like for us to notice, if you go to chapter 33, and we see the heart of Moses. This was in the end of his days. And what did he do? he had a blessing for his people. And if you read the, read that passage, and just, it was one blessing after another that he pronounced on his people. I was blessed and challenged by that. In Luke chapter 2, so we see that Moses ended life well. He ended it strong. Verse 25. Luke chapter 2, going down to verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. And then if you drop down to verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. And she was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. What do we see here? We see some dedicated people that a relationship with God and living in the Spirit, and God showed them promises and blessings because they were engaged. They had a relationship with God. In the end of days, and towards the end of their lives, they were still receiving God's blessing because they were listening. We see Moses doing the same. He wasn't able to go where he wanted to. Moses didn't allow that to stop him. In closing this morning, question for each one of us. Are we in tune and receiving the blessings that God has for you? Or has the difficulties of life bogged you down? It's easy to do that. God's intent and desire is for not for that to happen. God, help me to see the blessings that you have for me today. May that be our prayer this morning. When we rise out of bed in the morning, as we go to face the day, are we looking? Waiting for the blessing that I believe that God has for me today. We see that in Luke. We have that example there. They were looking. They were waiting. They were expecting. guess what? They received a blessing. Am I receiving God's blessings and encouragement that He has for me today? If we haven't, why? What's going on? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your promises that You have for each one of us. We thank You that we can know that we are Your children. And we know that You have a plan for us. And that You want to use us. I pray, Lord, that You would make us a willing people. And help us, Lord, as we live life, that we would be able to rise up in the morning expecting, looking, waiting to experience Your blessings and be able to see them, be able to identify them. Help us to do that, Lord. Lord, we just thank You. And we just pray, Lord, that You would have Your way in each one of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.